This is VOA News, reporting by remote. I'm Joe Ramsey. An Indonesian senior minister said Thursday the country is now fighting a, quote, worst-case scenario epidemic, and the government is preparing for a further spike in coronavirus cases as the Delta variant spreads. The world's fourth most populous country is struggling to slow COVID-19 transmission, even after imposing its toughest restrictions to date. And Indonesia's vaccination rate is low, with just about 6% of its 270 million people fully vaccinated. The minister says the government has converted buildings into isolation facilities, deployed fresh graduate doctors and nurses to treat COVID-19 patients, and imported oxygen and drugs. The Kremlin said Thursday that Moscow had no immediate plans to allow foreign coronavirus vaccines into Russia, despite the country's sluggish vaccination rates and rising death toll in the third wave of the pandemic. Russia's Sputnik V vaccine is not recognized by the European Union. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov says there are no current discussions about, quote, mutual recognition of vaccines with Brussels. Russian health officials have struggled to counter widespread anti-vaccine sentiment, with only 20% of Russians having received at least one jab. Aside from Sputnik V, Russia has registered three other vaccines. The Sputnik V coronavirus vaccine won over experts after first being greeted by skepticism. President Vladimir Putin has described it as, quote, the best vaccine in the world. But Russians themselves seem less convinced, with many saying they would prefer a Western vaccine and 54% saying they don't plan to get vaccinated. Find more on these stories and the rest of the day's news at voanews.com or follow us on the VOA mobile app. This is VOA News. After days of violent riots and looting in South Africa, community members in the worst affected areas began a cleaning initiative on Thursday, removing rubbish from streets, including in Johannesburg. Several neighborhoods were quiet Thursday ahead of an expected surge in soldiers on the streets. The riots started as protests sparked by the jailing of ex-president Jacob Zuma last week after he failed to appear at a corruption inquiry, but they swiftly turned into looting and destruction driven by widespread anger over the hardship and inequality that nearly three decades of democracy since the end of apartheid have failed to address. South Africa's defense minister said on Wednesday she planned to deploy up to 25,000 soldiers in areas where security forces are struggling to quell days of looting, arson, and violence. The administration of U.S. President Joe Biden will offer rewards up to $10 million for information leading to the identification of foreign state-sanctioned malicious cyber activity against critical U.S. infrastructure, including ransomware attacks. Another White House measure being announced Thursday to combat the recent ransomware onslaught will engage banks, technology firms, and others on better anti-money laundering efforts for cryptocurrency and more rapid tracing of ransomware proceeds, which are paid in virtual currency. Officials are hoping to seize more extortion payments in ransomware cases, as the FBI did in recouping most of the $4.4 million ransom paid by Colonial Pipeline last May. The European Union's top court said Thursday companies may ban Muslim employees from wearing a headscarf under certain conditions in a ruling on two cases brought by women from Germany who were suspended from their jobs for wearing one. The issue of the hijab, the traditional headscarf worn around the head and shoulders, has caused controversy across Europe for years and underlined sharp differences over integrating Muslims. The EU court decided bans were possible if justified by the employer's need to present a neutral image towards customers or to prevent social disputes. However, the court says that justification must correspond to a genuine need on the part of the employer. It will now be up to national courts to have the final say on whether there was any discrimination. And China said Thursday it would send a team to Pakistan to help investigate a blast on a bus that killed 13 people, including nine Chinese workers, after backing away from an earlier claim the explosion was a bomb attack. Wednesday's blast sent the bus crashing into a ravine in northwest Pakistan, where Chinese engineers for several years have been working on hydroelectric projects. Beijing on Wednesday had called the blast a bomb attack, but Pakistan said a mechanical failure caused a gas leak that led to the explosion. Reporting by remote, I'm Joe Ramsey, VOA News.